evening and welcome to Sunday Showcase. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo, and it is my pleasure to welcome Daniel Arnold and Medina Hahn, who've been touring around the country and the world, it seems, with their hit play, Tuesdays and Sundays. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. Now, Tuesdays and Sundays. There's an intriguing title. What happens on Tuesdays and Sundays?
Well, our play was inspired by a true story, and in all the research that we did, the true story took place between this young couple only on Tuesdays and Sundays. So it was a courtship, basically. They met at a New Year's Eve dance. It was a Tuesday. The following Sunday, he came to her house and had a visit with the family, etc. And so in the true story, they actually only ever met on Tuesdays and Sundays. And so our title for the play was basically born of that.
And who were they?
They were a young couple in the late 1800s in Prince Edward Island, named William Milman and Mary Tuplin. And they were a teenage couple that, and their real story is there's only sketches of what is known about them through some of the papers, etc. So for our play, we had to create the fictional characters.
Yeah, I believe you once said, Daniel, the emotional truth between the actual couple was never really known, but
right.
We wrote one possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And did the story bring you two together as a team for this project, or how did you meet?
We met at the University of Alberta BFA acting program in 1997. and in our last year of school in 2000, we realized that the importance of creating your own work and began looking for something to write about so that we would be able to create something for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And at that time there was a festival in Edmonton where we were called the Next Fest Festival, part of Theater Network's season in Edmonton, and we submitted the script there, and they chose it to be directed and dramaturged, and for us to be in it as well, which we always wanted to, which we wrote it for ourselves to be in. And so it premiered there, and we have since taken that production and toured it some all over.
And given the rights to high schools and universities across the country to do it as well.
Yeah.
So today, Edmonton, tomorrow the world.
Yes.
In a way.
And I'm sure everywhere you've been in the world, you've been asked the following question, but I can't not ask you. Is it a art mirrors life kind of story here?
Oh, God. Right. So you're asking, are you together?
They ask us that everywhere we go.
And our answer usually is, if we were together, we wouldn't be together.
We would have killed each other. There's no way we'd have been able to tour this play.
I see.
We are great best friends.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, great.
But you'll be together for the tour. Tell us about the tour.
We've been touring this play for about 3 years.
I mean, and so it's off and on, though, right? Because we also work as actors and writing new material as well. So our Canadian, usually been around the summers, I guess. Canadian tour, we toured, and it was together in a truck and sleeping at different people's places along the way, and then we spent a month in Edinburgh at the Edinburgh Festival
last year.
And how was it received over there?
Oh, it was great.
We were very lucky.
We were very, very lucky. So tough. That festival is so humongous.
1,500 shows.
And so for the first couple weeks, it was a struggle to get audience in because there was no reviews, and we were a very small show.
Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins show down the street.
but no, once the reviews came out in the good papers and stuff, and we got some 5 stars and on some What's Hot lists and recommendations and stuff like that, audience totally picked up.
And we sold out after that.
So where are you going this summer with it?
We are heading to Prague. They actually saw us in Edinburgh and are bringing us over to the Prague Fringe June 2nd to 9th. And then we are coming back to Canada and going to Festival Annie Ganesh in Nova Scotia, mm-hmm. July 17th to 27th. And then we might be heading to New York after that.
Well, good luck with all of that. Break
Thank
a leg,
you.
As they say.
Thank you.
And now, from coast to coast, our listeners will be able to listen to Tuesdays and Sundays as recorded in Vancouver before it goes to Prague. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Margate. It's gorgeous. Beautiful winding roads.
Can't go straight.
Tranquil flowing rivers.
Field after field of potatoes.
A rural community.
Like any other rural community.
None like this one.
Peaceful.
Heaven.
A Tuesday.
That's where.
New Year's Eve.
Going to the Bryantons.
Yes.
New Year's Eve.
Going to the Bryantons.
Yes.
A Tuesday. Farm boys scrub the rich red dirt from their bodies.
Daughters of the farmers don their very best frocks.
Slick down their hair.
Fresh face.
Bundle up
for the cold.
Say goodnight to their parents with a promise to behave.
And leave in time to arrive before the sun goes down.
My friend Francis at the gate with a bottle of rum.
With my older brother Jacob, we walk up mud road.
Sipping on the way.
Nervous and giddy. The
sun
setting.
And the moon. Francis, look. The sun and the moon.
We walk by the light of the sun and the moon.
A New Year's Eve dance at Mr. and Mrs. Bryanton's. Admission, 25 cents.
Parents and grandparents, widows and pets.
Admission, 25 cents.
Bachelors and maids and infants and lovers.
Everyone welcome.
Fiddling, punch, piano, a family affair.
Little girls dance in their father's feet.
Little boys run from their mother's grasp.
The older girls whispers in the corner.
The older boys stealing drinks out back.
We meet with a glass.
By chance.
By the punch, we meet. You're a Tuplin, right?
Yes, that's right. How'd you know?
I saw you come in with your brother.
You know my brother?
Yes.
He gets me some punch.
I get her some punch.
He spills on my hand.
I do?
Yes, you do, but don't notice, and neither do I.
We stand there.
I've seen you before. What's your name?
Of course. How do you do? I'm William Millman.
Mary Tuplin.
Pleased to make your acquaintance.
William, meet Mary. Mary, meet William.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Bryanton. We just met, sir. Thank you. She's soon to be 17, William. She's growing up quick.
Thank you, Mrs. Bryanton. He knows. We just met.
Well, carry on. This part is a success, my dear.
Mutter.
My dear.
Mutter.
Oh.
William Millman?
Mary Tuplin. Feet beneath the table.
Soft words in the corner.
I make her laugh.
Look at those couples dancing so close.
I give her a drink.
A smile.
A hand through the hair.
Getting to know you, sweet, exciting, soft, intriguing, getting to know.
Trying to get. Trying to get.
Flirting.
Francis, my friend, just stands in the doorway.
Francis's friend just stands
in the doorway and stares at the girl playing fiddle.
My older brother, Jacob, finds
a girl
of his
own. Jacob, her brother,
is not a good chaperone. Just before midnight.
All of us standing?
Music stopped, lights low.
Mrs. Bryanton standing on a chair.
Mr. Bryanton beside, holding up his watch.
Just before midnight.
Ten.
Nine.
William takes my hand
eight,
in his.
Seven.
Six. I look at him, looking
five,
at me. We smile,
four,
we count.
Three.
No
two,
one's looking.
One.
He kisses me.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
We dance.
She dances. I try.
We dance till forever. We dance till forever in a day with my head on his shoulder, his hands on my back till forever.
Till four.
Till forever. And
our eyes closed.
We kiss till forever. My tiptoes, his hands. We kiss till forever in a day till forever.
Till four.
Till forever.
And then I walk her home.
He walks me home. I am 16, going on 17.
I'm 18, going on 19.
He's handsome.
She's giddy.
He's handsome.
She's
William Millman.
Mary Tuplin.
You're walking me home.
So I am.
How many girls have you walked home in all your 18, going on 19 years?
I've walked home my share of girls.
Have you really?
No. I'll walk
home
at four in the morning, snow beneath our boots.
My arm within his.
Our breath in the air.
The moon guiding us along mud road.
Did you see earlier?
On the walk here.
The sunset?
And the moon I saw.
Me too.
I saw.
Yes, I saw it too.
Yells Francis from behind, following behind.
I can't believe I hang out with him.
Francis hears him and hollers.
I heard that. Go home.
William yells and I tell him. Be nice.
He told my folks he'd look after me, so that's what he's doing.
Need looking after, do you?
According to my folks, go home!
He yells again with the bark of a man. Not a child, not a youth, but a man.
Just go!
Francis yells back.
Mama's boy! On the bridge to cross the river.
That bridge to cross the river.
We kick snow from the deck.
Watch it
fall to the water below
and keep on.
Before Francis catches up.
We talk.
And we tease.
About respectability and properness.
At four in the morning with a rum punch on our breath, we talk seriously a while.
About the meaning of life.
So who are you, Mary?
Just a girl, I think.
Oh, don't think too much or you won't be. Just a girl.
He confuses me.
We don't talk at all.
He talks of his passion.
I play piano at service.
Oh, that's where I see you.
Mr. Bryanton teaches me, and I'm getting quite good. I don't play every Sunday, but pretty soon I will.
Yes, I knew that I'd seen you before. Yes, you play quite well. I remember you play quite well indeed.
Oh, thank you, Mary Tuplin.
You're welcome, William Millman.
I find this quite funny, so I laugh, and she...
Your laugh is funny.
She makes fun of my laugh.
Your laugh is funny.
Oh, come now, Mary, don't tease.
I'm not teasing, William. I'm telling the truth.
The truth? And you call yourself a respectable girl?
I am.
Don't you know the respectable never tell the truth?
Yes, they do.
No, it's what makes them respectable. Never tell the truth.
You know nothing.
My, we've grown up on different sides of the river, that's for sure.
That's for sure indeed. You talk nonsense.
I may be a little drunk.
And I give him a smile.
And I try to wink, but it's four in the morning and I'm quite tired, so both eyes go blink instead of a wink.
And we smile. Simply walk in silence now. down Mud Road arm in arm.
Past the Black Horse Inn.
All of its lights out.
How is it that we've never met before?
I'm nearly 3 years younger than you.
That's no reason. I've known girls way younger than you.
Oh, I've no wish to know what you mean by that.
This your gate?
Yes, it is. We walk up the lane.
I tell Francis to wait. He sits down at the gate and pulls out a pipe. Good luck, he says, and I tell him, shut up.
We walk up the lane.
Right up to the door.
Out of Francis' sight. We stand there.
She seems a bit nervous.
Does he want to come in?
I smile at her. I can't help it.
He laughs.
I smile.
That funny laugh.
I smile.
And I laugh too when I open the door.
She opens the door.
Do you want to come in?
Yes. Yes, I do very much.
He says nothing.
Yes, yes, I do very much.
He says nothing. Well, don't just stand there letting in all the cold air.
I enter her house.
He enters my house.
I enter her house.
My parents asleep. I close the door.
She closes the door. Pitch black.
I light the lamp.
Nice place.
Oh, thank you. Fire's out, but it's warmer than out there anyway. Do you want to take your boots off?
Yes. Yes, I do very much.
William? Your boots. Do you want to take them off?
I'd like to, Mary, thanks. But I shouldn't stay for long. I don't want Francis to freeze to death.
All right.
And my folks would be worried as well. I should be getting home. It must be past 4 o'clock.
All right. I just thought you might like to warm up your feet.
Oh, they're fine. Thank you.
How long have you to walk?
Well, we're up past Warren's Mill, so from here it's probably a good hour and a bit.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry you needn't have taken me.
Oh, no. It was no trouble. I rather liked it. You're some pretty, Mary Tupplin.
Please, you mustn't compliment me.
Why not?
One shouldn't be paid a compliment if one is undeserving.
And you're undeserving? You're not. You're beautiful. Mary, you are.
Can we talk about something else?
Like what?
I don't know anything.
Actually, I should get going.
Oh, but you just got in. You can't be warm yet.
No, I really should. My mother won't go to bed till I'm home.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how awful. My parents usually retire before any of us. They're very sound sleepers as well. Nothing can wake them.
Yeah. Not my parents. All right, I must be off.
Oh, his hand on my cheek. It's cold, but it's nice.
I step closer to her. Her breath on my face.
He leans towards looking at me.
My eyes open.
Looking at me, I can't breathe.
Her breath on my face.
I can't breathe.
Her breath in the air.
I can't breathe.
I leave.
We talk first.
Then I leave.
We talk. A sleigh ride on Sunday, he says. I'll come pick you up. This Sunday evening, I'll come by with a sleigh and we'll go for a ride. And I agree, and I agree, and I agree.
Well, she seems not to mind that she'll see me again. Sunday evening with a sleigh, then. I say, Sunday evening?
Yes.
A walk home in the cold. I puff from the pipe.
Creep up the stairs, listen at the door.
Teasing from Francis. Short visit, sent home. Those sorts of things.
My parents snoring. I open the door and crawl into bed.
But she wanted me back.
And I lie awake to the sound of my parents asleep in the bed next to mine, and I think.
On Sunday, I say, she wishes to see me again, and so there.
Is this love?
And I'm lying awake. I can't get to sleep.
William Millman?
Mary Tupplin. I can't get to sleep. Is this love?
William Millman?
Gentleman caller on a Sunday evening.
A gentleman caller on a Sunday evening.
Without a sleigh.
He never brought a sleigh.
I came late Sunday, the family.
He never brought a sleigh.
I'm sorry.
So we sit at home with my family and talk. John Jr. running around. Jacob still peeling potatoes for being a bad chaperone. My parents fussing. My older sister Christy making eyes. My God.
I'm sorry. I came though, didn't I?
Yes, he came.
a gentleman caller on a Sunday evening.
Good night, Papa. Well, that was exciting.
It was.
I'm so sorry. I do apologize. My family's not used to seeing boys around the house.
No bother.
Nerve-wracking.
Are you cold?
Father puts the fire out well before he goes to bed.
Can't imagine why. Says it saves firewood. Stingy old man! I'm sorry it's so cold.
I'm fine. Probably does it to force you to retire early, don't you think?
Well, it's not going to work tonight.
I can stay for a while, if that's what you're getting at. My folks think I'm with John Prophet tonight.
John Prophet?
Yes, a friend of mine.
He's my teacher.
Oh, yes! I guess he would be now. Just started teaching.
Yes, just this year. He's handsome, William. He's a friend of yours.
We talk about John and my friends and the folks we both know.
How is it possible? We've never met before.
I'm going to not be respectable here and tell you the truth.
All right.
I tell her the truth.
All right.
I tell her I've seen her. I've seen her before.
I know.
No, I've seen her before. I'd stare quite a lot.
Cut it out. You did not.
I did, too, I tell her. And when I saw her walk into the Bryantons that evening, that Tuesday evening, that New Year's Eve, I thought this is my chance. I thought I must speak to her. I may never get to again.
Do stop it. Did you really?
Yes. I thought I may never get this chance again. And that's when I gathered enough courage to approach her.
Plus, you were quite drunk.
Well, a little, perhaps. Courage, you know. But I tell her the truth. A little embarrassing, but it is the truth.
My father doesn't approve of drinking.
Well, I'm not courting your father, am I?
Oh, so now you're courting me, are you? Well, it's my mother who wouldn't approve of that. They like to, though, I think. Mother and father.
Your father hardly said a word to me.
That's a good sign, though. And when I told Christy about you, she immediately spread it like wildfire to the rest of my brothers and sisters that you were my boyfriend. So that's why they've been looking at you and giggling all night. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. I rather enjoyed it. I love John Jr. He's so sweet. How old is he?
He just turned 3.
Oh, they're wild at that age, eh?
Oh, no, he was tame tonight. You should see him when he eats a candy or two. He's uncontrollable.
I love him.
Yes, definitely the wild one of us all. Well, the others were a little giddy tonight, too. You understand. Why didn't you bring your sleigh? You promised.
I never promised.
I know. It's all right. Maybe next time.
Oh, so there will be a next time, will there?
I never said that. Well, I said maybe, if you're good. Meaning you still have a chance to redeem yourself tonight.
All right. So the family seems not to mind me, eh?
It appears that way. Can't imagine why.
Oh, I like the way you smile.
You're always complimenting me. You must stop it.
Why?
I like it.
It is getting quite chilly in here, actually.
Well, it might be warmer in the parlor. The fire's probably still kind of warm. And there's blankets if you'd like.
Sounds lovely.
This look in his eyes.
Grab onto her hand.
And my hand reaching out.
Letting go. Reaching out.
And we sink.
Around the front. To her stomach. Her neck.
Away slowly down.
Slipper under.
We're gone.
In my arms. In the air.
And we sink.
Around the front. To her stomach. Her neck.
Away slowly down.
Slipper under.
We're gone and we sink.
Around the front. To her stomach. Her neck.
And we sink.
Around the front. To her stomach.
We're gone and we sink.
Slowly down to her stomach. We're gone.
And we sink slowly down.
Slipper under.
We're gone for eternity.
Gone.
Till forever.
Till...
Mary.
My father calls down the middle of the night.
Mary, it's past midnight. Why aren't you in bed?
Oh, God. Get going. We scramble and pray we'll come down the stairs.
Trip over my trousers. Where are my boots?
Get them outside. Quickly now, quickly.
I thought you said nothing could wake them.
Mary.
I lied. Get outside. Quickly outside.
She lied.
Just a fib. Coming, Pa.
The rush of cold air. My feet in the snow. Hurry around the back to the shadow of a tree and I stop. I'll breathe.
Listen for a movement upstairs. There is none. Coming. So carefully now, fold the blankets. Tiptoe upstairs to the bedroom I share with my parents and explain.
No noise in the house. Must have gone back to sleep. Throw my coat on the ground, wrestle my boots onto my soaking feet, do up my shirt, shake my coat off, put it on, and make my way home.
Sorry to frighten you, Papa. We were talking downstairs, so we lost track of time.
Tuesday,
That Tuesday, I walked down Mug Road towards Mary's.
Sorry to frighten you, Papa. We lost track of time.
And I stop at the bridge. That same bridge we kicked snow from. At the end of the bridge and look back.
Is this love?
And I carve it on the wood under the deck on Tuesday. That Tuesday, I go out and I carve it under the bridge with my knife.
Is this love?
Mary Tuplin.
William Milner.
January 5th, 1887.
On Tuesday.
I carve it.
That Tuesday, I tell my sister Christy.
On Tuesday.
I'm in love.
I lie down and reach up and I carve it. Mary Tuplin.
William Milner.
January 5th, 1887. And as soon as I carve it, I know it is true.
It is true. It is true. I'm in love. Francis, where's William? Why hasn't he come by?
Next Sunday, the Bryantons take me aside.
I saw him at church and he turned the other way.
They ask how things are with the young Tuplin girl. Oh, I visited her, met her family and all.
My family liked him. They wonder where he is.
I cared for her family, though her father quite scared me.
Oh, he needn't be scared of my father. He's fine.
And I quite cared for Mary.
Does he not care for me?
Yes, I cared quite a lot, but she did not feel the same towards me. Oh, poor boy. That's too bad. But more time for your practice. Mr. Bryanton chuckles, and I chuckle too and sit down to the piano and play.
Well, if he feels like it, Francis, tell him he's welcome. Tell him he can write.
Not wanting to write, too scared to visit, I go to John Prophet.
John Prophet.
My friend.
My teacher,
John Prophet. Tell Mary Tuplin I feel it was a mistake.
Whispers. William Milman feels it was a mistake.
I can't see her anymore.
He can't see you anymore.
I don't like her.
He doesn't like you.
Francis brags. I've become pretty good friends with that Mary Tuplin.
Christy, what does this mean?
She jokes about you with her sisters and friends, William.
Oh, my God, Christy, are you sure? Oh, my God.
She giggles about you behind the church on Sundays. Yes, I've become quite close friends with Mary.
Oh, my God. Christy, please don't tell. Please don't tell, you sure?
But I try to forget about her.
William, please, William.
And I try to not think about her.
Francis, where's William?
And I try to not dream about her.
Mr. Prophet, where's William?
I'm trying to forget about her.
Mr. Bryanton, it is imperative that I speak with William Milman.
William, it is imperative that Mary Tuplin speak with you.
But I don't tell the reason.
She would not tell the reason.
Please!
I'm trying to forget about her.
He's trying to forget about you, Mary. It seems you may have broken his heart. My advice would be to send him a letter, mutter, a letter.
Don't send me a letter.
William, dear William.
Don't send me a letter.
William, dear William.
I don't even read it. I lean out my window and by the light of the moon strike a match and the flame...
Dear William.
I don't even read it. I help out my father on the farm.
Tansy, quinine, penny, royal, rue, or go to rye, cotton root, seven.
Take care of my mother. William, I'm fine. Now go learn your theory.
Some field or swamp or grove contains the needful poison and forthwith it is swallowed.
And I practice piano.
If medicines fail, bleedings, hot baths, violent exercises, consumptions of large quantities of gin.
Save money for college.
If these don't prevail, attempt a dilation of the cervix with slippery elm, a sponge tent, or catheter.
And time just goes by.
You're still not beyond the 16th week.
And time just goes by.
Too much time has gone by, Christy says. It's too late now to try anything else. I'm sorry, Mama. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Papa.
Mary Tuplin's dropped from school, says John Prophet.
We tried to be rid of it, Christy and I. We tried.
Is she sick? I asked John. He's not sure.
William Milman. You remember he came about New Year's.
He asks, what happened at New Year's?
And I breathe.
We were downstairs in the parlor, under some blankets. You're teasing, he says. No, I'm not.
We did. It's the truth. I'm sorry.
Your parents will kill you if they ever find out.
I know, Father. I know. In a letter to the Bryantons, tell William to meet me on Sunday.
Mr. Bryanton takes me aside.
Tell him to meet me down at my gate.
You must meet Mary Tuplin down at her gate.
Why? Tell him why.
And she's saying it's mine?
It's William Milman's for sure.
A gentleman caller on a Sunday evening.
Waiting for William.
I walk down Mud Road.
6 months since that night.
6 months. Half a year since I walked down this road. We kicked snow from this bridge. I crept under this bridge with my knife.
6 months.
Half a year.
And you find it goes by with the blink of an eye.
I spoke not one word to Mary in that whole half a year.
Not one word?
A gentleman caller on a Sunday evening.
A gentleman caller on a Sunday evening?
Thank you for meeting.
Thank you for coming. How are you?
Fine. You?
I've been better. You've been busy?
Yes. On the piano a lot more these days. 3 times a week. Hoping to be accepted to college this autumn. You're feeling all right?
Under the circumstances.
How's your family?
My little brother John is sick. You remember him?
John Jr.? Of course I do. Is he bad?
Yes, very bad.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Give him my love and my regards to the family as well.
How's your family?
Doing all right. Yes, they're doing all right. You look healthy.
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I don't feel it.
And it's questions upon questions upon talk about blame.
William!
No, that's what Mr. Bryanton said is all, that the blame is on me. It's funny, the Bryantons think it's partly their fault. They still believe they introduced us.
And it's answers upon questions upon talk about truth.
And you're saying it's mine?
Yes, that's the truth.
Oh, truth?
Yes.
Not just teasing?
No.
You're sure?
Yes.
And does anyone know that you're saying it was me?
Well, the Bryantons know. And my family, of course.
You told your family you thought it was me?
Yes.
I look up to the house, her father in the window.
Turn back around, Papa staring at us. And do your parents know?
They can't know, they'd kill me. That's why I couldn't see you again.
Why?
My folks.
Yes?
They want me to go to college. They say a social life gets in the way.
Truth?
Yes.
The only reason you couldn't see me again, your folks?
Yes.
Truth?
Yes. Well, not only that. I felt bad.
Bad?
It was a sin, Mary.
It doesn't have to be.
And her hand on her tummy.
It's 6 months for sure.
The wind rushes by.
With this look in his eyes.
I thought I was quite careful.
This look in his eyes.
I thought I was quite careful.
Sorry?
I said... I thought I was quite careful, Mary. I mean, I tried to do just what they all say, to pull myself out before. Like, no, Mary, I was quite careful. I made sure.
William, you're the only one I've been with that way.
I don't know, Mary.
About what?
Like I said, I was quite careful.
William.
No, Mary.
William, you realize what you're saying about me.
How is Francis?
Sorry?
Now, from what I hear, you and Francis were pretty sweet on each other.
What are you talking about?
He tells me you became quite close friends.
I haven't seen him for months.
Why not?
I don't know. He stopped calling round. What did he tell you?
He told me you had become quite close.
Oh, my God.
I'm only telling you what he said.
Oh, he's lying, William. This child is yours.
All right, Mary, I'm going to have to meet you some other time. My folks will be wondering where I am.
William, my father wanted me to make sure you knew some things.
All right, what?
Well, that this will cost money.
I know.
And that he and my mother will not take on too much of the responsibility.
All right.
And that my reputation will not suffer because of this.
All right.
So they wonder how you feel about me. And how I feel about you, us. They wonder if it's a possibility. I told them that it wasn't really. After all, you didn't want to see me again. But
no, I didn't want to, Mary. I couldn't. Listen, I really have to be off. I'll meet you on Tuesday. Is that all right? I'm away tomorrow doing my conservatory, but I can meet you Tuesday evening, all right?
Sure.
Sundown?
Sure, meet me here.
All right. See you then.
Turn back up the lane. Papa still stands there.
Head back up Mud Road. Quicken my pace.
Oh, Papa still stands there. William, what do I tell my father?
We're going to meet on Tuesday and work something out.
We're going to meet on Tuesday and work something out.
Oh, hey. I hope John Jr. feels better.
Me too. Thank you. We're going to meet on Tuesday and work something out. On Tuesday.
At sunset.
That Tuesday.
I make my way towards Mary's. Down Mud Road. Across that bridge.
Wait by the gate. I'm alone at home caring for the Bryantons' little one. It seems they feel the sudden desire to train me in mothering.
The breeze is nice. Fans the sweat from my face.
Just before sunset.
And there she stands.
By the gate.
With a little one in her arms.
Oh, she's the Bryantons. I'm taking care of her.
That's what she'll look like, carrying a child.
I can see it in his eyes.
She blushes. She almost blushes, but...
My family will be home any minute.
So?
You don't want to be here, trust me.
What's wrong?
Go hide in the bushes and I'll meet you there.
And the moment she says it, she turns back to the house. So I run across the road to the trees, duck down, and I
wait at the window for my folks to arrive. Down to the river.
She whispers.
I do?
Yes, you do.
Down to the river.
Why? What's the hurry?
My father just arrived. He wants to talk with you in person. He'll be out in a minute.
And I quicken my pace.
Over branch from my way.
It snaps back in my face.
We duck under leaves, over roots, through the trees.
Why does he want to talk with me?
He doesn't think we can work something out ourselves. He wants to get your parents involved.
Whoa!
I know! And I tried to tell him we'd work something out, just you and me.
Take a quick look back. Does he know where you are?
I ran out without saying a word. Come this way.
And we come to the clearing, to the bank of the river.
And we stand by the trees and the river runs by.
Across the river, a field.
Across the field, more trees.
And above the trees...
The sun caresses the skyline.
So, he's pretty serious, eh?
Well, I think he's got a right to be, William.
Mary!
My father calls down from the road.
Mary, where are you? You come back to the house this instant, Mary! William Millman! I know you're out there!
William!
I know that you're out there!
William, listen to me! He won't come down here! And even if he did, we'd hear him through the trees, so calm down! Sit beside me and let's talk or we'll never get back up there!
And she smiles.
And he laughs.
I smile.
That funny laugh.
Francis.
Francis, what about him?
We had a good talk.
You still believe that?
No, I don't know what to believe.
No?
No, I don't know who or what to believe.
And it's talk of the letter.
Did you send me a letter?
A letter?
Around March, I think.
Yes.
It wasn't from Francis?
No.
Truth.
Yes, you thought it was Francis?
No, I didn't know. I didn't even read it.
What?
I didn't even read it. I burned it.
You didn't even read it?
No.
So you never knew?
What?
That you were to meet me at the Bryantons' cream social?
No.
That I was expecting a child you never even knew?
Not till Mr. Bryanton told me on Sunday.
Truth.
Yes.
Well, why did you burn it?
I was trying to forget about you, Mary. I thought it might bring me some peace.
Some peace?
I had a suspicion it was from Francis anyway.
My letter from Francis?
Yes, it could have been Francis taking one of his pokes at me.
How?
He'd always rub it in that he was calling on you and that you and he would laugh about me.
Laugh?
Yes, he told me you'd poke fun at the time we spent together.
Poke fun?
You'd giggle behind the church with your sisters and friends.
No, William, no, not at all. I cared for you. My family cared for you.
That man up there actually cared for me?
Believe it or not.
I cared for you too, Mary. And the breeze through her hair.
My reflection in his eyes.
I have to look away.
Needing a touch.
Wanting to reach.
Trying to stay.
May I?
His hand on my tummy. I thought you meant by not meeting me, by not seeing me. I thought you meant I should get rid of it.
No. I didn't even know. I had no idea. Why didn't you?
What do you mean?
Get rid of it.
It wasn't for lack of trying.
Noise by the road.
Up near the road, voices and men walking through trees.
They're coming down here.
My father with others? He must really be angry.
Oh, God. Let's go. Let's go, Mary, now.
Where?
Away, down the river, along the bank to the bridge.
No, my father will kill me. We should really head back.
What? And say what?
We're sorry. We've worked something out. He'll understand.
You mean lie?
No. We've worked something out. We care for each other. Come on. He's going to kill me for running away.
Kill you? He'll kill me.
No, don't worry, William. You tell him what you just told me. He'll be fine. We'll be together.
Mary, follow me.
Where?
Away. Just follow. We need to talk more.
What is wrong?
Your father and his hunting party. That's what's wrong.
No, William, what is wrong?
I can't do this. I can't.
What are you talking about?
I can't be with you, Mary. I can't and I won't.
This look in his eyes. He's telling the truth. Not very respectable, but he's telling the truth.
I can't. I'm sorry. Look, either follow me now and we'll work something out or we'll talk later. I can't be standing here like a dope when your father comes crashing out of those trees.
His frightened young face.
Her confused little eyes. Mary, I'm sorry. Just let me explain.
And the snap of a branch even closer now.
I grab her hand. We run up the river.
Holding on tight, he pulls me along. I stumble on the rocks and crowd in pain.
But I'm still holding on. We scramble up the bank in the trees out of sight.
One hand in his, the other in my belly.
We crouch in the trees. Are you all right?
I'll be fine.
Are you sure?
I'll be fine.
Her pain, her breathing, her eyes on the ground.
I feel him staring at me.
Follow me further and we'll work something out.
He moves the branches away from my face.
And we creep in silence till we get to the bridge.
No one around.
We dash for the bank.
Slide under the deck.
And up out of sight. We
sit there.
Still.
Still holding hands. The river below us.
The bridge just above.
He nods to some carving on the underside of the wood.
Mary Tublin.
William Millman. January 5th, 1887.
I carved it the Tuesday after. I was on my way to call on you, and I stopped here and carved it. I need to leave home, Mary. I need to leave Margate.
Why?
I'm going to college in autumn for my music, and I'm not coming back.
Well, I'll come with you.
You can't.
Why not?
My father runs a tight house, Mary, a tight, strict house.
So? So you're leaving?
That's right, I am. And I have money enough for myself and no others.
Oh, my parents will give me some money if it means going with you. I'm sure they will.
Mary, no.
Oh, what do we do?
I can give you a little money.
I don't want your money.
That's all I can offer.
Well, I'll wait, you're back.
I'm not coming back.
Why can't you stay here?
I've told you already.
Have you?
I'm going to college. I need to leave home.
And why can't I come? William.
No.
Why can't I come? I have an unclaimed child in my belly, William. That's how my mother put it, unclaimed. Do you know what that means? It means I couldn't even go to the funeral today. I had to stay home. I couldn't even go to my own brother's funeral. My family's too embarrassed.
Funeral?
You never heard?
Well, I've been away.
My little brother John died Sunday night.
Oh my God. And you couldn't go to his funeral?
I haven't been off the farm for a good while now. My parents have actually started to ignore me around the house.
Really?
You don't understand the shame, do you?
Yes, I do, Mary.
But it's not written on your body.
And the wind whistles lightly across the bridge, picking up dust.
Carrying it along across the river. The tiniest of ripples on the water.
The sun sinks into the earth. I want to run away with you. I want to just take you by the hand and walk up this river and never look back.
Then do it.
Footsteps on the road.
Pounding the earth, running above us right on the deck.
Dirt trickles down from between the boards.
Sand in the light of the sun.
Voices of men.
Two, I think.
One, Mr. Bryant.
The other, my father. They mumble together.
More voices and mutters.
Please stop.
Oh, God.
dear God.
William! Mary!
They don't know we're here.
Thank God.
They keep on.
Cross the bridge.
And keep on. I think it's fair to say that I'm quite worried.
What are they doing?
I bet you 10-1 Mr. Bryanton is taking him to my house.
Really?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep, that's not good.
What should we do?
I need to stop them. My folks can't know about this.
Crawls out from under the deck.
Listen, Mary, go home. I'll go catch up with them and say you're back. We're sorry, we ran away, and everything's settled.
Everything's not settled.
Lie! Mary, please. He'll understand if you're safe at home. It will be settled. He'll understand. Now go, Mary, go.
Leaps onto the bridge, but I do not move.
Run a couple of steps.
I do not move. He looks over his shoulder. He stops. I don't move.
Mary, go. Please.
I don't move.
Please, Mary, go.
I don't move.
Fine, I'll tell him you're here.
But before he can leave...
She clutches her dress in her hand.
I work my way up the bank.
Careful, Mary, be careful.
Up the bank to the road.
She stands at the end of the bridge.
She stands in the middle, and my hand reaching out.
You let go, you reach out.
Letting go, reaching out.
I don't move. And step back. I step back, going to run.
I'm coming with you.
Under her breath, but I heard it.
I'm coming with you.
No, Mary, you are going home. We'll work it out later.
One hand holding my dress, the other defiantly swinging at my side as I walk.
Mary, calm down.
No, I'm coming with you. We're going to your house right now. Let me by.
Mary!
No, we'll catch up with my father. Let me go. We'll march right into your house. Let go of me,
Mary,
William.
Please, calm down. Let's be reasonable.
Ow!
Mary, stop it.
No! Go tell my father the truth, William.
You don't understand.
Go tell your father the truth.
You don't understand.
Then tell me the truth.
I can't.
I cry out in pain.
I can't.
And he won't let me go.
I can't.
He won't.
I can't.
He will not let go.
I can't.
There are so many things you just can't do. Why is that?
I don't know.
Fear?
Yes.
Well, what have you got to be afraid of? And this look in his eyes.
She won't let me go.
William?
She won't let me go.
William?
She sees.
My God.
She runs.
I run down the bridge to the road along the bank.
I follow. She's silent.
I'm screaming inside. I fly like the wind.
I follow.
I stumble on the rocks, then run on. Don't look back.
Keep your eyes on the girl.
Don't look back.
Keep your eyes on the girl.
Out of my shoulder, I scream.
I've got her. Around the front, to her stomach, her neck.
And we sink.
Around the front, to her stomach, her neck, to the water, the edge of the river, and... I move. But I'm not really there. Ringing and gripping.
They're screaming inside.
I can see my hands, but they're so far away. Underwater, around her, and under.
They're screaming inside.
And it's loud. Louder than anything. Drowning out everything. And that's what you're doing. You breathe in the water.
Where am I?
You're there, but your body... There's nothing.
The water, the weight. The water takes everything.
And for a few breaths,
our child has a few breaths.
After your heart has stopped,
our child
for a few breaths
lives beyond its mother.
And I stand with her. I stand and I walk.
With Mary, with child in a blanket in your arms.
I walk.
Till forever.
For just a few steps.
Till forever.
Out into the water. And slip her under. Your eyes.
They're open, eyes open.
Your eyes.
They're open, eyes open. Looking up at you. Wondering what you've done. Being dragged slowly down.
Back on land, I wander a bit. Under the bridge.
They'll find me. They will know. You will be blamed.
Should I have buried her? And it's not questions about life and death and love. It's not questions like that.
That run through your mind. It's questions like...
Should I have buried her? She wouldn't be found if I'd buried her.
You just heard Tuesdays and Sundays, written and performed by Daniel Arnold and Medina Hun, and produced in Vancouver by Barbara Worthy. The music was composed and performed by Jeff Riches, recording engineer was Chris Cutress, and the associate producer was Dagmar Kafanke-Nunn. The packaging producer was Rosie Fernandez. Most of the plays you hear on Sunday Showcase are available on CD. To place your order, just go to our website, www.cbc.ca/radiodrama, and click on Merchandise. That's www.cbc.ca/radiodrama, and click on Merchandise. Or you can place your order by phone. Just phone 416-205-5966. Or if you prefer email, just email us at radiodrama on CD@toronto.cbc.ca. You can make a check payable to CBC and mail it to Radio Drama on CD, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. If you'd like to send us a letter, please address it to Sunday Showcase, Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. And send emails to sunshowcase, that's one word, sunshowcase@cbc.ca. That's it for tonight. Just a reminder that this program will be aired again tomorrow night on Monday Night Playhouse at 9.05 p.m. on CBC Radio 2. And don't forget to join us again next week when we present an adaptation of another hit play, The Death of Socrates, adapted and performed by Nick Mancuso from Plato's famous play. I'm Damiano Pietropaolo for Sunday Showcase. Stay with us now for Katie Malick and Jazz Beat on CBC Radio 1. Good night.